It'd been one of those nights. Maybe you've had one like it. If you ever had a child, you've probably had one like it. One of those nights when you just could not get them to go to sleep. However much you tried, however many hours it felt like you'd been awake, they just would not go to sleep. Or maybe you've experienced something of that for yourself, if you've never had children. For yourself, that sense of, I just can't get to sleep. You know those nights when you can't get to sleep, something's just going through your mind, it's just stuck in your head, and you just cannot get to sleep. And then you've got that annoying place of not being able to sleep because you're trying to go to sleep. And you know what you need to do? You know you need to stop trying to go to sleep, but then you still can't get to sleep. I know some of you fall asleep just like that and you don't sympathise with this problem, but for the normal ones of us, this is one of those nights. Or maybe for you it happens more in the day, one of those days. You know, the days when just everything seems to go wrong, when nothing seems to go right, where you finish the day and the task list is just longer than when it started. Where you finish the day and you realise that you felt like you've just done everything wrong. Where it's just been unproductive. One of those days. I should have a PowerPoint, Linda, if it could go up, please. No, sorry, I might have stuck it in near the end. It should be called Jesus Calls. And I think that's probably the situation that we find these fishermen in that we've just been reading about in verse 2. They're there on the shore mending their nets, having had a whole night of fishing and catching nothing. A whole night of fishing and coming back with nothing. And then that horrible feeling of having been completely unproductive and unsuccessful and then coming back and then having to mend the nets and sort out the nets from having done and achieved nothing, from having earned nothing and having to sort out their nets the following morning. I've no doubt that they would have been in that kind of place that perhaps so many of us have felt, of feeling frustrated, of feeling angry, of maybe feeling useless, and it was all a waste of time. And into the midst of that kind of situation, they begin hearing Jesus. Jesus comes, and there's people, crowds coming to hear Jesus, come and teach, come and share. He's become already pretty famous, pretty popular, and people are coming to hear what Jesus will share with them. And there's people crowding around, so many people crowding around that in the end Jesus gets into one of the fishermen's boats, Simon Peter's boat, gets into it, asks him to push it out a little way from the shore, that he can kind of use the beach a bit like an amphitheatre, that people will hear what it is that he's teaching. He begins teaching people. And I don't know what Simon Peter's attitude would have been to him when Jesus comes and asks him to, or just kind of, from the way it reads as though Jesus just went and got in his boat and said, can you push it out please? And I'm not quite sure what his attitude would have been to Jesus in these circumstances. And I presume the rest of the fishermen just carried on mending their nets as they hear Jesus. And the odd thing is, it's these fishermen, they weren't the ones who came to hear Jesus. Jesus has come to where they were. They were going about their normal business. These crowds had come to hear Jesus teach, and it seems like the fishermen are just kind of innocent bystanders, really, just hearing Jesus as they went about their day-to-day lives, doing what they should do, probably feeling frustrated and angry about it. It seems like Jesus found them. And perhaps for some of us who've come to know Jesus, we've found something similar about that. That in some way it feels like Jesus found us rather than us finding him. That perhaps without us really seeking or intentionally going after it, Jesus seems to have come and started speaking into our lives through his word, through other people. It feels like Jesus found us. Maybe we weren't even looking. And we're thinking a little bit about welcome at the moment. I'm just going to make a couple of little references into it as we go through. It's part of what our welcome is about as a church, that we want to welcome people to come in, and because we want to welcome people because they get the opportunity to hear about Jesus. We want to welcome people that they would come and they would hear more about who he is. And it's lovely to see so many people here tonight. It's lovely to see so many people as we gather together on a Sunday morning. Or there's other things like Messy Church and Alpha and things like that where people can come and hear about Jesus. It's why we do things like Christmas and Easter when we get schools coming in and Holiday Club. And we just want to tell people and give people the opportunity to hear about Jesus. It's part of what we do as we welcome. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're welcome just to come and just to hear about Jesus as those fishermen did as they sat on the shore. But they didn't just hear him. They then begin to encounter Jesus. They have this encounter with Jesus. And it starts from the kind of this invitation that Jesus offers in verse 4. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, what Jesus asked him to do is a pretty stupid idea. Because fishing, in the way they fished with nets at that time, in that kind of region, you fished in shallow water at night time. And Jesus says, go to the deep water during the day. They'd just been fishing all night and they'd not caught anything, because that's what you do. You fish in shallow water at night time. And Jesus is saying, go out into the deep water during the day. So it's a pretty stupid idea. And it would have been reasonably simple for Peter to turn around and say to him, I'll tell you what, you sound like you've got this religious teaching stuff down, okay? You deal with that, and we'll do the fishing stuff, okay? You teach people, we'll fish, let's stick to what we're good at, let's not give up our day jobs, okay? And it would have been reasonably easy for Simon Peter to do that. And perhaps in his response, there's a little bit of tone to it. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Perhaps there was a little bit of tone in his response. I don't know how much it was said with faith and with trust. They've been hearing about Jesus. They've been hearing Jesus teach. And he does what Jesus asks. So he must have seen something in him. Some kind of recognition that Jesus was someone who had authority, or that Jesus was a good teacher, or that Jesus was a good man in some ways. Perhaps you've heard those kind of things before. Well, Jesus, he's a good man, or he's a good moral teacher. They caught something of it. Maybe you've thought those things yourself. And here they come face to face with Jesus. They're having this encounter with who Jesus really is, but they don't see who he really is. Having heard him teach, just hearing about Jesus isn't the same as getting to know him. They come, and in this encounter, they find out who Jesus really is. And it requires Peter to trust this invitation from Jesus, to actually trust what's quite a silly request, what seems like it's something not terribly sensible to do, what seems like something that's going to be quite a fruitless exercise. And yet he has to trust Jesus in this little way, in this little step of faith, to do as he suggests. And perhaps for some of us, we're in the same place. Maybe we've heard about Jesus, and actually we need to take a step of trust in him. Maybe we've heard about him, but we've never really opened ourselves up to encounter who he really is, to meet with Jesus by his Holy Spirit. And actually, as part of what we do as a church, for those of us following Jesus, that actually we need to provide the opportunity for people to encounter Jesus. It can be easy when we're talking a lot about welcome in the life of our church at the moment. It can be easy to think that, oh, well, welcome's a thing that's really important, isn't it? We welcome people, we're really friendly to people, and feel like people feel part of the church, and they feel like they belong, and, you know, we're not turning anybody away, and we're hospitable, and that's what we want to be about. And it is true, we want to be about that, because we want to love one another, and that's what we're told to do. But actually, we don't just want people to meet us, because there's someone far greater we want them to meet. We want them to come and meet the risen Jesus. We want them to encounter him. And sometimes that's hard, because it's one thing to kind of say to someone, come meet me. It's another thing to say, come and meet all these lovely people. Although I was talking to someone about inviting people to church, and they said the other day, I think if I'm going to invite my friends to church, I have to prepare them for all the different weird people that they'll meet. Which there's some truth in that, probably. no offence to anyone. But it's one thing to come and meet people. It's another thing, perhaps, for us to offer someone the opportunity to encounter Jesus. To not just talk about him, but ask if people really know him, have really met him. I went to visit my grandpa this week, my grandfather. He has been ill for a little while and was in hospital. I went to see him on Wednesday, and we knew he was very ill. And it's a funny thing. One side of my family are quite happy to talk about faith. The other side, not so much. And this was the not so much side of the family. And I'd never really had a conversation with my grandfather about faith. I knew that since they'd moved a few years ago, they got a bit more involved in church, and they were kind of part of their local Anglican church, and there was something going on there. But it wasn't the kind of side of the family where we really would talk about it. And I kind of went with it, knowing that he was really ill, kind of went with a bit in my hand saying, well, I'd really like the opportunity to talk about it, because I think he believes, but I'd love the opportunity just to ask, you know, do you trust in Jesus? Is there anything you want to ask or want to talk about? And really, he was too ill for me to be able to ask that question. Before I left, I got the opportunity just to say, that, can I pray for you before I go? And he was willing to let me do that. But even that moment, you know, when you say to someone like that, if you're not used to talking with someone about faith and about spiritual things in any way, that just that moment, say, can I pray for you? There's that feeling of, I could be rejected here. And that's hard, isn't it? Actually, that feeling of, actually, this person could just say no. And having to step out and ask that question. And it's not easy. But I asked. And he thankfully didn't say no. And I just prayed that he'd trust in Jesus in all that he was facing. And he died on Thursday. Sometimes we just think it's too awkward. And maybe we miss the opportunities that we should have taken long before. Because actually we don't just want people to hear about Jesus or meet us. We want people to meet Jesus for themselves. And that's the opportunity that Simon Peter and his companions have. They come and they meet Jesus. And there's this sudden change that goes on. This kind of amazing thing happens. They caught such a large number of fish. Their nets begin to break. They're starting to load them into boats. They get another boat to come along. They load them into the boats. The boats are so full that the boats begin to sink. They've had this huge and miraculous catch of fish. It says a few verses on that Peter and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. This wasn't just a bit of luck. This was something amazing and remarkable that they hadn't seen before. And suddenly they see in Jesus someone who's not just someone who's a religious teacher, someone who's not just a good man, but someone who's a worker of miracles, someone who's Lord of creation, someone who's not just going to come and tell them about a few spiritual things, but someone who could actually impact and change the whole of their lives. Someone so much greater than they thought they were coming face to face with. And that's what it means to encounter Jesus. They go from empty nets, angry and frustrated on the shore, to full and overflowing, astonished at what God has done. That's what it means to encounter Jesus. And we can still encounter him today. And sometimes people encounter him in amazing ways, through dreams and through visions, and through some kind of experience of the Holy Spirit, of God working in them and in their lives in some way. Other times people encounter Jesus through his people. We're the church and we're his body. We represent Jesus today, and sometimes it is the love and the care of his people. And that's how people encounter Jesus today. Sometimes it's through the Bible. Through simply reading the Bible. Nicky Gumbel, I forgot his name there. Nicky Gumbel, who's the guy kind of started Alpha. If you've ever done the Alpha course, you'll know through that, you'll have heard his testimony that Nicky Gumbel quite famously became a Christian actually just by sitting down and reading the New Testament part of the Bible. I think he started with John and read through all of that, kind of in one night, then fell asleep and then started reading some more of it and carried on and just read the New Testament. By the time he'd read, I think about half of it, he became a Christian. He encountered Jesus just by reading about him through the Bible. We encounter Jesus in all sorts of different ways. I'd like to show you a little video about a guy called Francis Collins, who's a quite a famous scientist. And it's quite interesting.
How did they arrive at their world?
It's this kind of interesting process of coming to discover more about Jesus. Actually, for Francis, they're almost through logic and that journeying and discovering more. And interesting that being there, which him kind of resisted. I just thought I was going to think about these things, but didn't really think I'd ever become a Christian. Didn't really think I'd ever come to believe in Jesus. But I was beginning to see that he was the only way. And we see something similar in Simon Peter too. Simon Peter, after this amazing thing has happened, comes to Jesus and says, "Get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." What's happened has shocked Peter. He's seen something in Jesus, that Jesus is somehow different, somehow holy, somehow other from who Peter is. And it shows up to Peter his own sinfulness, his own shortcomings and failures. And he just wants to be distant from him, just wants to get away from him. And for us too, if we come to know Jesus, there's that recognition too, as we come to him, of recognizing our own sinfulness, recognizing that we haven't lived the way that God wants us to, recognizing that we've fallen short of God's standard, the moral law that we were just hearing about in that video, that we've failed and fallen short. And as John comes and is baptized later on, he's going to declare that he's going to turn from sin and renounce evil and intend to follow Christ. There's power of baptism to turn away from sin and to follow Jesus. And sometimes there can be this funny thing as we come to meet Jesus, that we can resist him because we're aware of our own failures, that we want to keep him at arm's length, that we don't want to encounter him because we know it's going to challenge us about the things in our lives. And yet actually he is the only one who can deal with those very things in our lives. That actually he is the only one who's able to deal with our sin. The one who gave his life so that we could be forgiven. That's why Jesus says to Simon Peter, don't be afraid. He's saying, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. And he's able to say to him, don't be afraid. Peter doesn't see what we see at the time, that Jesus is the one who's able to deal with his sin. Peter and his companions have this encounter with Jesus. But they don't just stop there, they go on to follow him. Jesus offers this, what we might call it an invitation, but it feels much more like a command at this point. He says to them, don't be afraid, from now on you will fish for people. Now on you're going to go and fish for people. And they leave everything and they follow him. They leave everything and follow him. They leave their nets on the shore. They were fishermen. They had a pretty respectable job. It was an above average income. They had a way of life, something that they knew. It was costly and risky and frankly ridiculous for them to just give it all up, walk away from it and follow Jesus. They had a very sketch of what it was going to mean to follow him. Jesus, they've heard him teaching, maybe for a few hours or something, but he said to them, come, you're going to fish for people. What does that mean? They've only got this brief idea of who Jesus is and what it's going to mean to follow him, but they've seen something in him. They've had this encounter with Jesus, and it's enough to make them willing to leave everything and follow him. To leave everything and to follow him, to be obedient to his call. And that's part of what baptism marks for us, as part of what John is demonstrating today, is that he wants to be obedient to God, to do as God asks. Baptism is that mark of obedience, of being willing to follow Jesus and to do as he commands. Jesus, who himself was baptized and commanded us to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And as we step forward and as if we make a decision to follow Jesus and as we walk life with him, as we get baptized, we don't know all that it will mean. Yeah, we've got the Bible, we've got what Jesus taught, but the call for us is to follow where Jesus leads. And just like Peter and his companions, we don't know all that will mean. The call is to trust him and to walk with him. And I think sometimes today we can get a bit caught up. Oh, that's gone a bit off the screen. We can get caught up between what should up say, encountering against following Jesus. Because sometimes today we can be quite happy, maybe with the idea of encountering Jesus, with some kind of experience in one way or another, with some kind of spiritual experience. That we can be quite happy, particularly when it's on our terms and in our way. But it can be a bit harder to follow. We see it when we kind of make some kind of response, but it doesn't have any action behind it. When kind of our faith is about a Sunday and not a Monday. When we want an experience of worship, but we're not actually willing to live a worshipful lifestyle. When we want to follow Christ, but we still desperately want to hold on to the world. It's staying to mend the nets instead of going to follow Jesus. Sometimes we can like the encounter and the excitement that comes with it, but not be willing to do the following and the day-to-day and the doing as he asks. They left everything. They left everything and followed him. And that's the call that Jesus asks of us. To leave everything and to follow him. To be willing to let go of everything and hold him above it all. And Jesus can ask that of us because it's what he did for us. Philippians chapter 2 describes in quite poetic fashion what it is that Jesus has done for us. Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is the one who gave it all, who humbled himself, who was willing to give up the riches of heaven and humble himself to become human, to become a servant of all, even to death, and death on a cross. He can call us to give it all because he gave his all for us. And in that moment, there's something that Peter and his companions saw in Jesus, that he was worth giving it all for. They heard about him. They encountered him, and they were willing to leave everything to follow him. Are we willing to hear about who he is? Are we willing to accept his invitation to encounter him? Are we ready to give everything and follow him? In a moment, John's going to come and share his story about how he's come to this place of wanting to be obedient to Jesus' call and give to follow him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you would send your Son for us, that you would send Jesus for us. We thank you that he is risen from the grave and we can encounter him today. And Lord, I pray for each one of us, wherever we are, however much we know of Jesus Christ, that Lord, we'd be open to knowing him more. That Lord, we would all continue to encounter Jesus. And Lord, that you'd help us to let go of things of this world, let go of the things that we need to, and to let go of it all, to follow you. Pray for John now and ask the Lord you'd help him as he comes and shares his story with us. Lord, that we might be encouraged by the way you've worked in his life. In Jesus' name, amen.